everybody out there in podcast land. Welcome to episode 12 of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow, your co-host, and we hope we've been fixing your dental practice so far and giving you some great ideas to think about, hopefully making you smile and laugh along the way. I'm here with my esteemed co-host,
Dr. David Maddow. How are you doing?
Esteemed? I don't know. Esteemed? I don't even know what that means, but we'll say you.
I'll take it. I'll take anything I can get these days, Rich.
Esteemed my coffee this morning. It was great.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you. And by the way, I mentioned last episode, I believe it was last episode, we could use all the help we can get. Just go onto iTunes and give us a rating and a review. And some of you actually did that. And thank you so much. And if you haven't gotten a chance to do it yet, it's just so easy. Just go into iTunes and make sure you're at our podcast and give us an honest, I'm going to say an honest rating. And if you have a second, extra second, give us a review. We would really appreciate it. And it helps the show a lot when you do that.
So thanks for doing that. We're here at the studio again today. It happens to be a rainy, 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 cloudy, gray day here in our headquarters in Baltimore. Actually, we're in Reisterstown, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore. But hopefully we'll spread a little sunshine with today's episode.
Hey, we're going to give you, we promise this every single episode, within the first 30 seconds or so, a quick tip that's going to help you in your practice in some way, financially or whatever it might be. And our quick tip of the day, I'll tell you what it is. We're going to talk about a dental lab and a dental lab guy that we've known, Rich, how long? We've probably known this guy for at least 2 to 3 decades.
Absolutely. Well over 20 years.
The name of the lab is Aesthetic Porcelain Studios. And we know there's so many choices in dental labs out there these days. And the quality varies. And these days, you just never know where your case is going to be sent, and there's like try-ins and remakes and just the craziness. Well, give our buddy David Block a call. He's a certified dental technician. He's been in this business for, I believe it's somewhere, if it's not 40 years, it's approaching 40 years now. He knows what he's doing. His lab, Aesthetic Porcelain Studios, is a really quality lab. And not only that, David will get on the phone with his dental clients and talk about cases, and not only about cases, but about dentistry and about life. And he's kind of one of those like old-fashioned guys that really, really cares not only about the quality of the cases he's delivering, but about his dental friends. He doesn't call them his clients even. He calls them his dentists, his friends. And he really, truly wants to help you. So I'm going to say it's a lab experience unlike any you've ever had in your life. Even if you don't even want to send him a case, give David Block a call. His number, he'll come to the phone, I promise. His number is 800-544-9605. If you're more of a web internet guy or gal, go to his website, aestheticporcelain.com. And he spells aesthetic, A-E-S-T-H-E-T-I-C, aestheticporcelain.com. You can see a picture of David Block. Don't hold that against him, though. Don't hold that against him. He's a great guy. He's been a buddy of ours for a long time, and we really believe in David and his craftsmanship.
I'm going to give a little confessional here.
What's that?
Something I've never talked about before in all our years writing about dentistry. I don't think I have. I am congenitally missing my lateral incisors, number 7
I remember
and 10.
That. Come to think of
it. Generally missing. They never came in. And because of that, even after ortho, I had some gaps between my anterior teeth, my maxillary anteriors, little diastemata, to use the term
word.
That I love
I'm impressed.
Using. I had some bonding done, blah, blah, blah. It was okay. But you know, one day I said, you know what? I got to get veneers on these teeth. So I chose my dentist very carefully. I went to the great Dr. Joe Blaze, trucked all the way out to St. Louis to get him to do my veneer preps. And then, of course, we said, well, what lab do we want to send these to? Guess where? Aesthetic Porcelain Studios. David Block and his gang made my veneers. They made them out of feldspathic porcelain.
Oh, I love
this.
This
was well over a decade ago. They look great. They're holding up beautifully. Everybody tells me what a fantastic smile I have. It's not because of me. It's because of my great dentist. And of course, the final and most important step, the fantastic lab, Aesthetic Porcelain Studios. So I can say from not just from experience as a dentist, but as a patient, their work is incredible.
Let me see. Smile. Let me see. Your microphone's in the way. I got to see. They're veneers?
Nope. See, you never would have known.
No, actually, honestly, they look really good. And you've had them, I think, way longer than
15 years.
Yeah, at least 50. They look the same they were put in. They look good, really.
Yeah, maybe a little coffee and wine stain, but hey, that makes them look natural.
You're living the good life then.
Exactly.
Give our buddy David a call, 800-544-9605. Tell him that you listen to the Practice Fixers podcast and you know the Matto Brothers. I'm not sure where it'll get you, but just let him know you know
him. You know, it's interesting, though. Even though he is an old school kind of guy with his great customer service, he was telling us that he is more into digital technology than ever before.
Yep.
He's fully equipped to, of course, take your digital impressions, and he's got all the latest up-to-date lab equipment that will just give you a fantastic result.
Yeah, not only did he invest an incredible amount of money in the digital equipment he has, but he's taken the courses and he's studied and knows exactly how to use it. So it's not just enough to like have the equipment, but he really knows what he's doing. His stuff looks beautiful.
Super good guy too, which really makes a difference.
Love talking to him.
Yep, no question.
He's old school, meaning he doesn't really, you don't text the guy and say like, can we schedule a phone call? You just call his number and he picks it up
24/7.
Exactly.
I'm never going back to my old school. Hey, let's talk about something a little different today. We'll use a dental term. We'll call it a different kind of scaling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a different kind of tension.
No, that's the great album by the Buzzcocks. Did a few music references already. A different kind of scaling. If you follow business and, of course, the tech companies and all these modern companies, I mean, just think of some examples, of course, Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, they all talk about scaling. You know what that means, don't you, Dave?
Oh, sure, yeah.
What's your feel for what that means?
Being able to take the business you're doing, and let's say scaling it would be, let's say you've got something that people really want and it's really going well, being able to like increase the amount of business you're doing significantly over a period of time.
Right, like if you watch Shark Tank, I'm a big Shark Tank fan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watch Shark Tank or not.
I've watched it.
Yeah, so they'll have somebody on, they invented some, a new kind of t-shirt or something, and it's really cool. They'll all say, well, how are you gonna scale this? You know, it works right now, you and your husband are sewing these in your kitchen, and you're doing iron-ons. How this says like the Doobie Brothers, right?
But you get like a million orders. How are you going to scale?
How are you going to scale this? Exactly. That's always the question. And then of course, the other question is, how are you going to monetize this? These are like the big words in business these days, right? So let's talk for a second about Airbnb. Maybe some of you know what that is. Maybe some of you don't. Airbnb is a tech company where instead of staying in a hotel when you travel, you can go on their site, go on their app, and actually stay in someone else's home and rent it from them, so to speak. So Dave, you use Airbnb a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And I'm going to be staying at Airbnb within a couple of weeks, too. I love it. It's great.
Have you ever had a bad experience at Airbnb?
Oh, let me think. Probably not, actually. I don't think I have had a bad experience, I got to say. And I'm not using it like every day, but
right.
A few times a year I use it and not had a bad experience.
Airbnb is unbelievable because I can't remember the exact statistic. I might get this a little bit wrong, but I think the company value of Airbnb is actually more than the great hotel chains, Hilton, Marriott, Starwood, Hyatt, all those. And Airbnb does not own one hotel room. They own no real estate, except maybe for their offices. They are the most valuable hotel-like company in the world, and they don't own one hotel.
Very cool. And yeah, I never thought of it like that. That's true.
It's amazing.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
So here's the story about Airbnb. They first started, I think it was three young guys. They were living in on the West Coast, and they had this idea, and they said, well, how are we going to scale this? We have, it's a great idea. Sure, we've got like three people renting their homes right now. How are we going to scale this? And they kept debating, and they couldn't come up with an idea on the way they could really scale this and make it big because they just didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have a great experience to offer. And of course, anybody that wanted to invest in them and give them the millions of dollars it would take, their question would be, how are we going to scale this? So they dropped back and said, you know what? Maybe we're asking the wrong question. Let's, instead of talking about scalability, talk about how can we provide on the small scale possible. Let's have one person signed up for Airbnb, and how are we going to provide the best experience possible? So Dave, I've only done it once. You've stayed in a lot more Airbnbs than I have.
I'm surprised. I thought you were a little bit of an Airbnb guy too.
I dig it, but I've only done it one time. How would an Airbnb host provide the best experience possible?
Okay, it's a great question. Number one, they would need to be very honest on their write-up of their place. Like, in other words, good pictures, a proper, honest write-up of what their place looks like, have really smooth, good communication. So in other words, when I book an Airbnb, a lot of times there's some communication back and forth between me and the host. Now, if I try to communicate and it takes them 3 days to get back, I don't like that. Somebody that gets back to me within an hour or two, I love that. And I know it just tells me they're on top of things. But not only that, when I go to check in, how easy is it to check in? Are they willing? A lot of times people's travel schedules, including mine, I arrive in a town or a city early. So are they amenable to letting me into the place early if nobody's staying there? I love, and a lot of times they do. I love that. Will they let me keep my luggage there or maybe possibly check out late? Is the place clean? All these things are so important.
So I think you've just described, if they hit all those buttons, you would say that's the 5-star Airbnb experience.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And not only that, I'll tell you something else, a fair price.
Because
some of these hosts, the price looks fair when you look at it quickly, but then some of them, not all, but some of them try to like charge you like an exorbitant amount for like a cleaning fee or some other type, a cleaning fee. There might be one other fee they could slip in there. And I think that's really unfair. It's almost like a hotel when they charge you the resort fee. Like
I hate those.
I can't stand their daily rate looks low. It looks low. But then when you add in all this extra bullshit that you know you find out after the fact. So a good honest host that's not gouging you. I mean, look, to charge a little bit for a cleaning fee, that's fine, but to charge like a few $100s, that's a ripoff.
Right. Especially if you only stay there one night.
Exactly.
Right. So if those of you that are listening wondering what the heck does this have to do with my dental practice, hang in because it will, we guarantee. Okay, so you've talked about a 5-star Airbnb experience.
Yeah.
Okay, so the founders were saying, well, we're not going to worry about scalability yet. We're going to worry about crafting the best experience possible. So they said, okay, this is the 5-star experience. Pretty much, Dave, what you just described. Then they said, well, what's the 6-star experience? A 6-star experience on a scale of 1 to 5, a 6-star experience would be something like you get there, the host is waiting for you, and they say, here's your key. Let me put your suitcases in the room, and there's a really cool place right across the street for dinner and drinks. Let me take you there as my guest.
Let me tell you something. I've had close to that. And now it was a woman host. She was pretty cute, but she was actually waiting for me there, and she didn't want to take me out with, and that's okay. I don't want the host to really take me out anyway. But she was there, and she said, "Let me put your things in the. Do you have anything that needs to go in the refrigerator? Here's where you to put your luggage." It was in Brooklyn. Loved it.
So you kind of you had a 6-star experience,
absolutely,
because that was not in your description of a 5-star experience.
Right. The host now, I'll tell you something else. I don't mind if the host is not there, but if they're there I don't want the host to like hang out too long. But if they're there to like get you in and help you out, that's really pretty cool for sure.
Okay, so then they went on to say, well, that's the 6-star. Here's the 7-star. Here's the 8-star. What's the 10-star experience? And of course, these are not realistic. These are things that are not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But they just said, just for our growth and our knowledge and our, you know, whatever, what's the 10-star? And they used a scene that I loved. We all remember, or some of us remember, seeing the news clips of the Beatles when they arrived in the U.S. for the first time. It was 63, 64. Mm-hmm. You remember the Pan Am jet lands at JFK and they're amazing. Million photographers, and they're whisking them off in limos. They said, well, what if you showed up for your Airbnb? You know, you got out of your cab or your Uber or something, and there were the streets were roped off, and people were taking pictures of you. They whisked you into a limo, and there's champagne in the limo, and they took you to your Airbnb and made sure every creature comfort was taken care of, and there's, you know, a caviar and a huge buffet waiting. Well, that's the 10-star experience. And then what's the 11-star experience? The 11-star experience, you know, you arrive at the Airbnb, and Elon Musk is there waiting for you, and he says, well, before you check in, we're going to take you in my Tesla and take you on a SpaceX launch, and you're going to be the first citizen to travel in space. And you know, they're making up all these crazy things.
Wait a minute, I think that happened to me though on my last one.
Elon Musk was there.
Yeah, he was there.
It was the fake Elon Musk.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
So why are they doing this? You know, you're not going to have the 10-star or the 11-star experience, but they were doing it saying that the more we talk about this, the more ideas we get and the more excited we get about learning how, before we even think about scaling, providing the best customer service experience possible. You probably know where we're going with this, right?
Absolutely.
Where are we going with this?
Well, in your dental, I'm just guessing, Rich, but in your dental practice, before you start worrying about growing it and getting more new patients doing this, make sure you're delivering like that fantastic experience from start to finish for every single patient that comes in. I mean, so in other words, you can't think about growing your practice when patients are calling your practice and they're getting some idiot on the phone giving you horrible. I mean,
like the one in the last call of the week?
Yeah. I mean, You've got to be doing, yeah, you got to be giving that like 10, 11, 12, 13 star experience in your dental practice before you even think about scaling it.
Exactly. So, you know, it's interesting. As coaches, I feel like we've seen it all. We probably haven't. There's probably still some stuff left out there that we haven't seen. Hard to believe.
We will see it.
But I feel like it's very typical that a practice will contact us and they'll say, okay, you know, this is what we want. We want to produce more and collect more. Our overhead's too high. We want more new patients. We, you know, all the things that everybody wants in their dental practice. And then when we or one of our coaches go into their practice, we find, oh my. I mean, they are providing the worst experience from the time of the initial phone call until the time anybody comes in, you know, to their treatment they get, the way it's presented, the way it's the clinical experience that they receive, the financial arrangements, all these things are so bad. They can't even think about scaling their practice yet. And we don't mean scaling and root planting. We mean scaling your, you know, growing your practice until they figure out how to give a fantastic patient experience.
Yeah. So what do we do? Like what's the, like, what are we going to tell our dentist to do?
Here's what we're going to suggest. We're not going to tell you what to do on this podcast. There are too many things, but we're going to suggest have a team meeting and don't let your team, Dr. Vili, don't let your team listen to this podcast, because here's what we're going to suggest you do. Call a team meeting and say, let's talk about a patient's experience. What could we do to provide a 5-star experience, and start making lists and then say, what are we doing now? Are we providing a 1-star, 2-star in each of these categories? The way they're greeted on the phone, the way the phone call's handled, every single thing. Are we providing a 5-star experience? And then come up with your outline. How can we truly provide a 5-star experience? And then you're kind of settled in, you're conversing about that, making a list, then say, okay, now, what can we do to provide a 6-star experience and a 10-star experience? And people will be saying crazy things, but still, it's all valuable in coming up with some ideas to provide a true 5-star experience. And before you cannot grow your practice and start scaling until you know that every single patient is being treated really, really, really well.
Okay, but you know, and I agree, but one of the problems I see is that a lot of people that are providing, a substandard experience,
a 1-star experience.
Let's say that
substandard.
One or two. Yeah. So, and I've seen this. They think if they get together in a team meeting, they honestly believe they're providing a 5-star experience. I mean, they say, no, we're doing all this right. But they're really not.
True. You know excellent point.
Seriously. I mean, they're like blinded to the fact they're doing a shitty job.
Well, I would say if your practice isn't growing the way you like, chances are you're not providing a 5-star experience. So you've got to not be so set in your ways and not have that attitude of we've always done it that way and say, okay, we're doing it this way now, but what could we do? What could we change? You know, when a new patient calls, a potential new patient calls, are they being appointed? Well, if they're not, you're doing something wrong. You know, when you present treatment plan, do your patients say yes and make appointments? If not, you're doing something wrong. Are you collecting, not counting write-offs, just about 100% of what you produce? If not, you're doing something wrong. Are your patients referring others? And you know what the one, people say, well, I want to do a little patient questionnaire. You know, in business and in dentistry, there's one question that tells if you're doing a good job.
I think I know. Would you refer a friend or family to this office for care?
Exactly. That's what
we're talking about.
People can't say yes to that, there are a lot of things wrong.
We've been in offices that the team members won't even go there for their own dental care, nor will they refer their family members to go. They're going somewhere else for dental care. That's not a 5-star experience, people.
Totally
it's not.
But you made a really valid point, and that is, what if you think you're giving a 5-star experience, but you're really giving a 1-star experience? Well, you kind of have to go back to the drawing board and say, yeah, we're doing it this way. We've been doing it this way for 10 years. How can we improve it? And you know what else I think, and Dave, I know you've seen this too in the offices that we visit or that our coaches visit. Team members are really smart, and they really can come up with great ideas, but many times they're afraid to because they don't want to rock the status quo. They don't want to offend the doctor or a fellow team member. Well, screw all that. In this exercise, all that stuff is off. Anything goes.
Right.
You can say anything. You don't criticize someone personally. Criticize a system. you know, say, let's try it this way. I think we can do better on this. Instead of saying, Madge does a horrible job, say, let's try this instead. So don't criticize a person, criticize a system. And feel free to come up with great new ideas. Team members, empower yourselves. You guys and gals are really smart and really care.
And we'll leave you with one more thing. This is probably the most important thing. Be honest. Be honest with yourselves. It's okay to admit that you're not necessarily giving a 5-star experience, because when you realize it and are honest and admit it, then you pave the way to allowing yourself to actually learn how to and deliver that 5-star experience. But I really don't want some of you guys out there, and when I say guys, it's collectively guys and gals. When I say guys, but some of you are just, you're blinded to the fact that, you know, just admit that you might not be doing a great job, and let's get you doing better. That's all we want to do.
Absolutely. We want you all to do so much better. That's why we're doing the Dental Practice Fixers podcast.
Because we're the fixers.
Hey, write to us, podcast@matto.com. Email us, podcast@matto.com. Before you figure out how to scale your practice, figure out how to give the best patient experience possible. Speaking of patient experiences, let's do our call of the week.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Thank you for choosing. This is Michelle speaking. How can I make you smile today?
Oh, you just did. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So I got a question for you. It's Michelle, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a little embarrassing for me. I think I might have some type of like gum problem. Like I notice my gums are bleeding sometimes when I brush. Do you treat gum disease there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, excellent. How much does gum treatment cost usually?
We're not really sure about prices due to the fact that we have to have a treatment plan worked up by the doctor. Mm-hmm. But usually when you come in for your first visit, you get an x-ray, an exam, it'll be $90, and then they can give you a treatment plan right then and there.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. That sounds easy enough. Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much for that information, Michelle. You made me smile for sure.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Maybe she made you smile, but she sure didn't make the doctor smile, because they just lost 4 quadrants of scaling and root planing down
and
the drain.
And whatever else I might have needed. Yeah. You know, Rich, when she answered the phone, I thought it was a beautiful way to answer.
Great.
How can I make you smile today? And
I even
a little chit chat, I said, you already did. I was smiling. She was very, very kind. But the bottom line, and I guarantee the doctor doesn't know this. The doctor thinks Michelle's doing a great job. Michelle's great. But
well, in some ways she is. She's pleasant. She's perky. She's enthusiastic. So that, you know, that's what we see on the outside.
Right. I pretty much said to her, I think I need gum treatment. I mean, my gums are bleeding.
They smell.
Everything smells about, you know, but she did not appoint me.
I'll tell you what else she did. A little pet peeve of mine. I don't like using words like treatment plan. You know, you'll come in and the doctor will come up with a treatment plan. Like, I think most people don't know what that is. And it sounds a little scary, a little ominous. Like, I don't know.
Because most patients don't know exactly what that means.
Like, of course.
And she used the word like price. And she said, like, we're gonna take an x-ray. Well, so, you know, look, just get me in. Get me in for an appointment. Get me in and do this stuff once I get there.
Great example of somebody who had a lot of good things going for them. You know, again, pleasant, enthusiastic, interested, and with the proper training could probably be a fantastic front desk person.
Her grade for today?
Bovie grade. F.
F. Have to give her, she was pleasant. Have to give her the F. She made no attempt at all to even try to get me on the book.
Zero. All right. Hey, thanks so much, everybody, for joining us on episode 12. Of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. I'm Dr. Richard Matto.
I'm Dr. David Matto. We will see you next time.